Welcome to the SDR Disco Call Vidcast and Podcast, a show designed for brand new sales reps working in the world of tech sales. I'm your host, Neil Buyan, and I'm going to be taking you on a journey on the SDR Disco Call Vidcast and Podcast. Did you know that you can watch this show live with the guests on YouTube? This show is available on YouTube at happyselling.io. Hello, listeners and watchers. Welcome to another chapter of the SDR Disco Call Show. So if this is your first time joining or you're a returning listener and watcher, you may be asking yourself, what is this all about and why are we here today? So in the world of tech sales, we have a lovely role called sales development or business development. And a lot of people come into this industry for the first time wondering, how do we navigate our careers? What best practices can we find to make sure that we have a successful sales career or to become what I call happy sellers? And on this show, we bring great people from around the world in this profession to pick their brains, figure out how they got in and share some best practices to help out you there in the world. And my name is Neil Buyan, your host. And with today's guest, this is somebody I've been excited to get on board, and equally because this is the first recording for 2024, and what a great way to start with a bang. And with this guest, they were brought to my attention from somebody that's also been on this show, Andy Laws, about how he was prospected and how somebody booked a meeting with him. And I was like, dude, if somebody's been able to prospect you and get into you, I want to know who they are. And I came into this person and I said, hey, do you want to come on the show? So guess, without further ado, could you please introduce yourself? Who are you? Where are you from? And where do you work?
Thanks, Neil. So I am Charlotte Higgins. I work at a company called ScreenLoop, and I'm from London.
Love it. So Charlotte, thank you so much for joining us on the show today. An absolute pleasure to have you on board. So obviously Charlotte from London, and working at ScreenLoop. Could you guys tell us at a high level, what do ScreenLoop do? And who are the typical personas that you would either sell to or kind of use your solution?
Sure. So ScreenLoop is a talent operations platform typically used by talent acquisition and hiring managers. Obviously, I prospected Andy Laws. He was a hiring manager hiring SDRs. And what ScreenLoop does is it makes sure that you're hiring the right people in a quick amount of time and that you're providing a great candidate experience to everyone who comes in contact with your company.
All right, love that. Well, thank you very much. And Charlotte, outside of sales, what do you like to get up to, dude?
So music is a big one, as we sort of discussed before. Taught myself how to make beats. And whenever I say that I make beats to people, they're like, what are you talking about? Like headphones, Beatroot, it's like music instrumentals. That's a big one for me. I still do that a lot to this day. I love music in general. I'll spend a lot of time making random playlists that I probably won't ever actually listen to again. Music is a big one. Also really enjoy going to the gym when I force myself to go. So,
and it is something definitely we're going to dive into a little bit further, because it is obviously part of your journey as to how you got into tech sales as well, right? The inspiration. And obviously somebody that loves spitting lyrics to beats, but also I've just started my own journey of making beats and musical instruments. So we're definitely going to dive into that as well. And yes, a fellow gym bro here, dude. So, but I didn't go this morning because I just couldn't be bothered. Because I've had a busy week. But anyway, I digress. So normally at this point, I just want to give a gentle reminder to our listeners and watchers that if you're listening to this in your local podcast platform, it would really help us out if you could give us a rating and also share this chapter with anybody that you think could benefit from Charlotte's story. And if you're watching this on our YouTube channel, we'd really appreciate it if you could like, comment, and subscribe down below, and equally share this with anybody in your network that could benefit from Charlotte's beautiful story. And it's normally at this point, what we do is we go to our guest's LinkedIn profile to kind of get a lowdown as to, you know, where have they come from, what they've been doing. And obviously, I would highly recommend that within our show notes, you'll be able to find Charlotte's LinkedIn URL so you can actually connect with her and pick her brain with anything that we've discussed today. So obviously, Charlotte, checking out your cool profile, you've had some great experiences, obviously, creating music as a music producer and building those beats. You've worked in hospitality. And, you know, for the last year and a half, you've been working with ScreenLoop. And we do have some good news to share, but we'll come to that a little bit later on. But if you could kind of take us from the beginning, Charlotte, like, let's lay the foundation. and ask, how did you get into tech sales? How did this all start off? And like, tell us your journey.
Sure. So I think like a lot of people, I never really knew what I wanted to do. There was no jobs that I was aware of growing up that I was like, yeah, I want to do that. I knew that I didn't want to do a quote unquote meaningless office job, let's say. I guess I followed my passions of loving music. And part of that was what I did was basically teach myself how to make beats from YouTube. Mm. You know how long the process is. It's a lot harder than it looks to make a good beat. Then what I did, I've always been quite interested in business and quite entrepreneurial. I created an Instagram page for my beats. I sold beats. At the time, I didn't know it, but it was basically SDRing through a range of techniques like cold DMs. Mm. I'd search things on Twitter. Or I used MailChimp for cold email. I was like scraping Twitter for people typing in like hashtag need beats, things like that.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. With varying levels of success. I mean, I did sell some beats, but it wasn't huge. But, you know, I really loved that. And it got to a point, I did that kind of at uni and a bit afterwards. I was also doing, as you saw on the LinkedIn, the random hospitality jobs as well. It got to a point where I was like, right, I need to find a full-time job. I can do the music on the side, but I want to find a full-time job that I actually am passionate about as well. I don't know how I came across it, but I came across Otter on there. I thought, you know, this isn't an Otter ad, but you can change the salary. Yeah. I thought, let me just see what I could do for like, you know, decent salary. Let me just be a bit cheeky because I had no idea what jobs were out there. And I came across the SDR job on there and I saw the responsibilities. It was like cold email, social selling. I was like, well, I kind of do that already. Yeah. That's quite cool. Cold calling, I was absolutely, not going to lie, terrified of. And I was like, right, because I am terrified of that, I feel I have to do it. I'll probably touch on it later on in the conversation, but communication, confidence, learning how business work, those are like my three sort of pillars of motivation. And the cold calling piece was like, right, that kind of ticks off all of them. I kind of casually applied to a few SDR jobs and then ended up at Screenloop.
I love that. There's so many different parts there that I want to pick apart, right? There's a lot of things that I can relate to within that journey, but I think you've taken some of the things that I tried out in my younger days to a next level, right? And it's just your mindset of how you were looking at it and the transferable skills that you had over time to then fit into where you are today. And I love that. So coming back to the music, and like, as you said, you were teaching yourself from YouTube videos to build beats and instrumentals. And obviously then creating your business page on Instagram to kind of sell those beats, doing cold outreach, you know. Explain to me, like, what got you into the interest of music? And then how did it turn from passion to then commercially selling that sort of stuff? What was that journey like and how did you come up with that? What was that journey and how did you navigate that as well, Charlotte?
Yeah, so I've always been a music lover. Always thought I'd love to be a DJ or I'd love to put out music, but I never really knew how to. No one I knew was doing any of that. So then what I did was I just went to YouTube, went to the internet and was like, okay, how do I make beats? Like, okay, there's a few music production softwares out there. Let me try and get one. I got the cheapest one. It was FL Studio. Anyone out there knows it. Some people love
Fruity Loops.
Yeah, let's go. Yeah. So I got that. I don't know what it was. It was just a really innate desire to learn how to do it. And I was just so motivated to do it. I'd spend like 8 hours. It felt like 8 hours just at my laptop learning how to do it, how to make those beats. It took a lot of trial and error. I would say objectively like 6 months to 12 months before beats actually started to sound remotely okay. It was also, you might know this, Neil, it was a bit of a struggle even to actually finish a beat. Like, I'm not going to bother with that. It sounds bad. So there's a lot of perseverance needed. And then I was at university. I was like, why not see if I can make some money from this? It actually started out with me just posting it for fun, really. And then I thought, why not? Like, let's go and find people and see if I can give them my beats. And then I did a bit more Googling. Oh, you can actually, there's ways you can make money from it as well. And that snowballed into, just selling some beats. And then I was like, it was very much learn as you go. I didn't really have a plan. It was like, oh crap, now I need to make a contract to this beat. Okay, let me Google, like, what does a beat contract look like? Okay, let me send that out. So yeah, it was very trial and error. Just did it as I went, really. Yeah, that's how the beat side of things happened.
I love that. So that's pretty freaking cool, dude. You know, having that passion as well, and then, you know, I would call it not a destination per se, of like you said, you could either be a DJ, producer, something like that. You had what I would call direction. So, you know, that's the field you want to do, but obviously you're not pigeonholing, saying I'm going to be this specific thing. But then going from YouTube to learn how to build those beats, and then trying to find the software, like you said, with FL Studio, to then actually create that. And I loved how you said, you know, 6-12 months of learning, and, you know, many unfinished projects. I can totally relate to that, dude. And I think, similar to myself, so I come from a musical family where my mum's a classical Asian singer. So music has literally been with me since the womb, right? And I've always listened to different types of music, from jazz, classical, hard rock, UK garage was the thing in my teens, drum and bass and all of that. So music for me is, it's kind of like seeing colors. That's the way that I look at music, right? I just love different sounds and I always want to hear things. And here's a funny thing, like when I was in college, before I got kicked out the second time, I was actually doing a multimedia course, a BTEC is what they called it back then. And it was in, also part of that element was music production. And for the music aficionados and producers out there, I was learning on Cubase, right? But here's the thing that kind of saddened me. So I go into this multimedia course and I can see all these other people in the class and they've got their computers, these huge, massive, big things. And the course lecturer is at the beginning and they're talking about Cubase. And dude had no idea how this software or anything worked. Because for me, my passion of music originally was just being an MC. So spitting bars to UK garage tracks, drum and bass, and sort of grime early 2000. And I'm sitting in a class and all these people are going into the Cubase, the lecturer's talking about stuff, and they're talking at a very advanced level. And for somebody that didn't understand or how to use it or how to start up, there was no beginner, here we go, level one. It was just, they went full-fledged. So truth be told, for 2 or 3 months, I sat in a class just like, just checking my phone. Because I was just like, I was hearing other people building beats. But every time I asked, I was too scared to say to the teacher, I think I'm in the wrong class. I need to go back to beginner's preschool sort of stuff. So let it be. But to your point, years later, watching YouTube and stuff like that, that's how I kind of learned it. But I was also very blessed where I've got my best mate Carl, aka DJ KGB. He was like the sound engineer for DJ Luck and MC Meet, and he took me under his wing in the early days of my MC career. I used to sit in Carl's studio and he was using Logic, and I used to see him building beats. And obviously when I used to record and spit lyrics to instrumentals, I would go to Carl's studio. And I would see how he would build it in, set levels, you know, using noise gates and all of this sort of stuff. And there was a point in my career where I was unemployed. And I just used to go to Carl's studio. Like there'd be days on end where I'd literally go to his house in West London. And I remember when he was building his new studio, like he was soundproofing it and like setting it all professionally, right? And I'd be sitting on his Mac, his G5 back then. And he would have Logic, and then I found loops within like Logic.
Yeah.
And I looked around to Carl and I said, bro, do you mind if I just, like, I know I spit bars and that's, I'm the MC thing, but do you mind if I try and bill a beat? And he was like, go for it, bruv. So whilst he was building and he was like hammering and everything, I would sit there and just on the loop on repeat. And then Carl kind of said a thing to me where he said, you don't make music like for commercial tracks, Neil. But when I hear your sounds and everything you're putting together, it sounds like you're making a movie. And I said, yeah, because I'm thinking of like a movie score. So music from movies and soundtracks and scores like Hans Zimmer. Yeah. I used to love listening to all that sort of stuff and building a beat. But anyway, I'm going too far into my music stuff. But it's great, you know, that when you have a passion and you test stuff out. And to your point, there's been many beats that I've started and I thought, yeah, this sounds sick, bro. And then you're like, a couple of, like, you let it rest. Then you come back tomorrow morning and then you press play to hear it again. You're like, yeah, we're going to forget that one and move on.
What was I thinking?
Yeah, exactly. But coming back to you, but I want to understand. So you're billing building beats and you're on Instagram and you're like having to cold DM and you're using MailChimp and scraping stuff from Twitter to contact people to sell beats. What was that journey and who taught you how to hustle to sell these beats to people? And like you said, you're Googling to how do I create contracts. Walk us through that quickly, because that is biz dev. But how did you learn how to do that?
I mean, I don't know where the hustle came from. I think because I was so passionate about it and I was just so determined. I was like, okay, I just want to sell one beat. Like, let me do that. I think that's where the actual hustle came from. In terms of learning it, again, just Google, YouTube. I think I might have found a couple producer groups on Facebook and they were dropping tips, which was really helpful. I think having exposure to other people doing a similar thing to you is really important to actually stay motivated when you haven't yet got that success, but you know that the path is there. But no, it was such a grind. It took a lot to just get that first yes, which again, there's so many parallels between that and SDRing. It's ridiculous.
I love that. And initially, like, when, all right, so I loved it. You're self-taught, you're watching videos, you're self-learning. And this is a really cool thing, right? Where some SDRs do come into role. And, you know, when I was a hiring manager, I would send them a couple of links to watch. So there may be like a month transition before they're leaving their last job, having a bit of a break and going in. And I think teaching yourself things, not so much about your company or the product, but just watching a couple of YouTube videos to kind of get a lay of the land as to how does that stuff work, what you're going into. Because when I got into tech sales and I got the job offer, dude, I was spending a couple of weeks just watching YouTube videos of sales. I didn't know what the hell I was looking at, but I just needed to get a taste of what is technology sales and all of that. So I loved how you've done that. But what did it feel like when people were telling you, no, bro, I don't want your beats. I don't want to pay for it. How did you handle that?
Honestly, I'd be excited just to get a reply. I'd be like, oh, sick. Like, that got a reply. And I would tweak the message. I would start off, I'd message like 10, 20, 30 people. I'm doing this. This is my beats. Like, check this out if you want to work with me. And then I was like, okay, no, I need to make it more about them. I need to start off with a conversation, because what I realized was I'm out here struggling and trying to sell my beats. I'm selling to people in a very similar situation. They're out there struggling to actually get ears on their music. They're struggling to make their music sound professional. But actually just connecting with them on a human level, and it wasn't to try and get a sale. It was genuine. Like, I enjoy speaking with them as well and connecting over that. But also giving them some constructive feedback on, you know, I listened to this song that you made. Would you like some feedback on that? Like, I love this part. So I think I learned to create that relationship a little bit and create that trust. So yeah, to your point on how I felt getting rejections, it was honestly just, I saw it as a win of getting a reply. And a bit of a science of tweaking things. And okay, they said no, essentially, to actually buying a beat, but I got some information from them. I learned how to better connect with the people that I want to sell to. So I think that's how I saw it. I think as well, because it was just me, I felt no pressure to deliver to someone else in that sense.
Yeah.
It was just, when it happens, it happens. That I kind of trusted the process, I think.
I love that so much, because I think with a lot of SDRs and BDRs that I've met, when a prospect says no, and maybe this is also a thing, like, this is Neil venting about LinkedIn. Because obviously there's a lot of stuff about objection handling, you know, and, you know, I've trained and coached people on objection handling. But, you know, if I've got a no and obviously this prospect hasn't got back, there's also this element that things that people are allowed to say no, that they don't want something. But if I think there is this contentious thing on LinkedIn where it's like, if they say no, you need to flip it around and they need to see the value. Truth be told, some people just don't need it or don't want it. And I think that's okay to understand. But what I love about what you've said, it's the same mindset I have, is you never lose. You either win or you learn. So, you know, like, as you said, when then people are saying no to you, and you're happy that you got a response, because a yes or a no is better than being ghosted, right? Yeah, and when they do get... Exactly. In order to get their attention, you know, you've got into their inbox, they replied back to you and stuff like that. I think that's key. And then what I love what you said there, Charlotte, is you're able to tweak the messaging and refine it, because that's what helps you win, to learn more, to then win into more DMs and more boxes and sending stuff. Curious to know, with your beats, are you still actively selling this, or is this kind of parked? Like, what's going on with your Insta and sending your beats?
So unfortunately, parked for now. I mentioned this to you before, but I've had laptop struggles, which is a bit of an excuse from my part, to be fair. But yeah, I think with the full-time job, I let it slip by the wayside. Saying that, I do want to get back into it. And I think with the SDR skills I have now, I'd be in a much better place to do it. Yeah. I think I almost saw myself as not being that good at selling beats because I reached out to so many people, but only got like, let's say 5% people replied to me, whatever it was. But I think now with the knowledge that actually that is pretty standard, like it is actually pretty hard to get a reply and to get people to buy your stuff, even if you're at an established business.
Yeah.
It's definitely changed my mindset. So definitely something that I'll be getting back into at some point.
All right. I love to hear that. And you know, that's a truthful thing where sometimes we do something for a bit and we do park it. But you know, sometimes when you do park things and you go off to do something else, you pick up skills which can then complement and help that as well. So, you know, with myself as an MC, when I got into tech sales, like it was, the funny story was when I went for my first SDR interview, I had my CV on a table and I was interviewing a guy called Brendan Walsh, and I'm in Covent Garden. We're getting towards the end of the interview and this guy's trying to beat me up and say why I wouldn't be a great SDR at his company. And then he looks at my CV and he says to me, "Neil, I've just got one last question for you." And I was like, "What's that?" And he said, "On your CV, there's this email address." And I was like, "Yeah." And he's like, "It says sny_beats@yahoo.co.uk. He said, "What's that about?" I said, "Oh, well, I can't use my work email address. Otherwise, they're going to know I'm looking for a job. So that's my personal email address." And he was like, "Yeah, okay, cool. But what's Sny Beats?" And I was like, "Oh, outside of sales and work, I'm an MC and I work in nightclubs in London and across the UK. And I work with some friends called DJ Luck and MC Neat." And his demeanor changed from, "I don't want to hire this guy," to, "Ooh, that's freaking cool. Tell me more about it." I got hired and, you know, I got my first SDR job. But there were points where, you know, midway through my career, when I got into management and I became a dad, I had to park that. I couldn't do that anymore.
Yeah.
Because I was busy, right? But then when I got stable in those things, then I was able to have time to go back to do it. The difference being, because I'd been working in sales and I'd been hiring commercials and marketing and product, I was able to sell myself more as an MC so that when I met a club GM, I could demand my worth and I could, you know, give them a free trial. "I'll do your first night, no money, just sort me drinks. If you like what you like at the end, I'll come back and we'll do a residency." So it does help you upskill. And I kind of want to segue into, you know, how you were looking at your career of you're building beats and then, you know, you came across Otter and you're looking at jobs and everything. Talk about how you were sizing yourself up with your skills and how you were looking at the tech sales job. What was going through your mind then, Charlotte?
I think I really had no idea because I wasn't clued up on the SDR role. I wasn't clued up on SaaS, tech sales, any of that. What I did know was that a lot of these companies were looking for people who were self-starters, who were really motivated. And I thought that with my experience selling beats, I think that was quite clear. So I thought probably 99% of companies are going to look at that and not be interested, but maybe there'll be a couple that are like, "Actually, do you know what? Maybe there is something there." But I mean, honestly, it was quite a short journey between me sending the job applications. And again, I did it quite casually because I wasn't really in a rush. I was doing the beats on the side. I had my jobs. I was pretty stable. But yeah, I think coming into the tech sales world, I definitely felt a little bit like an imposter of not having any actual tech sales experience. So I think, yeah, that's come with time, but yeah, I think the beat experience definitely, I think without the beat experience sounds weird. Without that, I would have actually applied to the jobs. I think,
yeah.
No, I didn't have sales experience directly.
Yeah,
definitely made me want to go into that. So I've been proper rambling there.
No, that's cool. I love it. And I think just to pick up on that, where you said, you know, some of us have that thing of imposter syndrome of we don't have that experience. How are we going to fare in this job, right? And I think a lot of SDRs that I've trained, managed, and coached, there is this fear of when I join and I see my peers, I don't know the industry well. I don't know the sales that well. I don't know my product that well. And you kind of feel inferior, understandably, because it's a new space. But the thing that I keep pretty much like say to SDRs is, don't worry about the product, because you're going to learn that over time when you get asked questions by your prospects. And if you don't know the answer, you go find out, you then learn, you tell them, and then next time you get asked, you know how to do it. And with the sales experience bit, you need to actually start somewhere and you learn it as you go along. But what advice would you give to somebody that's, you know, apprehensive of applying because they lack the experience and you're coming into tech sales? What kind of advice would you give them, Charlotte?
I think just go for it. Why not? You've got nothing to lose. I think I've seen on LinkedIn people that have been hiring for SDRs. Some of them will say, I didn't even hire the SDR with the most experience. I hired the one who reached out to me, sent me a video on LinkedIn, cold called me. So I think people with low to little to no experience still definitely do have a shot. I think similarly for me and yourself, Neil, it's like you can draw back on your past, different bits of skills that you might have picked up in things like music. Maybe you were learning a language, whatever it was, that built yourself some resilience, sales skills, communication skills, whatever it is. Just remember that you have that in your back pocket. I think job hunting is never easy, but if you keep at it, you probably will find the right role.
I love that. And that's solid advice. And you're right. I think it's the ability to think about transferable skills, right? What have I done in a previous role or company or job that kind of mirrors to an extent what this job spec is asking of me, right? And that's how I've looked at all jobs. So like when it says, you know, your responsibilities are, you know, building pipeline or talking to customers, etc. So, you know, in one of my first job interviews for a BDR role, most of my experience was mixed with my days of working at Pizza Hut, you know, dealing with customer queries on the phone, handling irate customers that their pizza's late and having to calm them down and being able to move forward. That is a skill that can be used in sales when you've got angry customers or you've got prospects that are being difficult with objections. You know, I was actually a pizza delivery driver. I also made the pizzas and I also was front of house like as an assistant manager. So running with a team on a shift for a couple of hours. So that's people management, stakeholder management, and, you know, building stuff and having different processes. So I used to actually like in my interview saying, well, I haven't had sales experience, but I can give you an example of something similar that I've done in another job that kind of fits that line, you know? So where I was hearing you saying, you know, I'm on Instagram, you're doing marketing. So you're building yourself a present. You're doing cold outreach by going into DMs, using MailChimp, which is marketing automation that marketers do. So these are like the transferable skills. And obviously coming into a place that helps like hiring managers and TAs, like it's a great space, like in terms of, you know, helping other people to do that. But then the other thing that I saw on your LinkedIn was a great post that you put out. About like a year into your BDR. So 6 months ago, you put in 1 year of being a BDR and you kind of put all the great like learnings and things that you've gone through and stuff like that. So can you kind of like talk us a little bit of, you know, you went into this role and these are all the things that you experienced. Like, can you give like some context to it as to like the experiences you had and how you came to those learnings?
Sure. So I think a year BDRing, there were so many learnings. I definitely gained a lot of confidence, definitely a lot of communication skills. And there were a few bits of advice that I would tell myself and I'd pick up on over time that helped me with the job. So I thought, why not give it a post? I enjoy looking back on it now as well, because there's always new things that you do learn. But I think it's important to take stock of what you have learned, because it can be easy to forget. So I mean, just going through that list, like mindset is success, basically. I think it can be easy as an SDR to see external factors like the market, your prospects aren't, whatever they are, they're busy, as to reasons as to why you might not be performing, might not be booking meetings. But I think having a positive mindset as much as possible, but especially believing that you are in control of your outcomes, is such a big one that I found helpful for actually BDRing, whether it was, okay, no one's replied to my emails, let's say. That means I need to go in and look at the messaging, look at the open rates. I'm in control of that. Yeah. Same thing goes for LinkedIn. Same thing goes to cold calls. I think just feeling in control, also attacking each day with positivity, that is ultimately what will create a lot of the success that you have as a BDR. And just going through the list, like be proactive in upskilling yourself. A lot of people, again, rely on their company to book in cold call reviews with them, for example, to actually upskill. But ultimately, there's nothing stopping you from saying, hey, colleague, can you look over this cold call review? Or can you give me some feedback on this email, whatever it is? And that those little things that you do on a weekly basis, a daily basis, whatever it is, those lead to big wins and big improvements.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I can go through the whole list. I can just leave it at that, whatever works.
I love that. And that's solid advice, especially for our listeners, you know, in this gig and in this role, perhaps coming into it for the first time, or, you know, the reminders of, you know, it's constant iteration. It's constantly refining things that you're doing and the activity that you're working. And I think one of the key things that stands out to me is like failure is valuable. Going back to that thing of we don't lose, we either win or learn, right? So I think for a lot of BDRs and SDRs, knowing that when shit doesn't go to plan, it doesn't mean that's the end of the road. It just means either tweaking and changing course a little bit to then continue us to keep further going on. And I think the other bit that I love is, you know, always ask for feedback. So the best salespeople that I've had are always very self-aware, and they know that they're good at what they do, but they also know there's always room for improvement. So they're forever asking, you know, how could I make these calls better? Or how could I make these, you know, emails better? Or how can I have more meaningful conversations with my customers, with my prospects? You know, recording themselves, sending it to the manager, sending it to their peers, or sometimes even sending it to people that don't work in the company but work in the same role, and asking for feedback. So for me, even to this day, you know, being a sales trainer, you know, even being like building beats, I'm asking people for feedback. Like, what do you think, right? Because I want to improve. And I also totally agree with this, make a habit of bringing lunch in, because, you know, working in London and tech sales, like the amount of money that I used to waste just buying food when out, it made so much more sense like doing it in. But I love this question here where you said, if you could go back to your first day, what would you tell yourself? Thinking about you writing this post 6 months ago, what would you tell that Charlotte Higgins of 6 months ago?
Oh, interesting one. I think there've been a few things that I've learned, but I'd say, sorry, I might need to pause here. What I think.
Yeah.
So going back to the person that wrote that post, what would I tell myself? I think don't be afraid to lead on making changes with the BDR strategy that we were doing. Don't be afraid to take a lead on changing. This is a bit messy. I might need to do this again.
That's all right.
But yeah.
So let me ask this again. So Charlotte, obviously with this great post on LinkedIn, and obviously I'm going to put a link into the show notes so people can check out this post from Charlotte all that while back. But the question that I'm going to ask her, I love how you've put in, if you could go back to your first day, what would you tell yourself? Which we'll come towards at the end of this show. But I'd like to ask you, if you could go back to 6 months ago, to the Charlotte that was writing this post and everything that you've been through, like celebrating your year of a BDR, what would you say to that Charlotte 6 months ago?
Great question. I think I'd tell her that all the bits of advice that she's put in that post are still going to help her in the 6 months to come.
Mm.
But I think one that I probably missed from that, and one that has been more important for me over the last 6 months, is to remember why you're here. Remember your why. I know that Tom Bertrand did a good episode with you on yeah. why, on what that is. But I think there's been a couple times where I've had to really just take stock on what I want to do and what direction I want to go in. And there's been tough times, there always will be in sales. Yeah. And really actually leaning on your why and where you actually want to go afterwards. I think that's something that particularly over the last 6 months has helped me stay driven, for sure.
And can I ask you, and again, if this is too personal, you don't need to answer, but can I ask, what is your why, Charlotte?
Yeah, so I think it can either be one why, right? Or it could be like 10 little whys for me.
Yeah.
I sort of mentioned it at the top of our podcast, but three areas that I've always wanted to work on and improve has been my communication skills, my confidence, and how the hell does business work? Like, how do people actually get a business off the ground? And I think looking back to why maybe, I mean, I could have pursued the beat selling a little bit more. I had a couple other business ideas I won't go into that I sort of pursued. One of them I couldn't actually monetize, but what prevented me really, I think, from properly going full steam ahead with those was a lack of confidence in myself. I sort of with the beats, I hid behind the Instagram DMs. I hid behind social media, really. Mm. And going back to what I mentioned about being terrified about the cold calls, right? It's like, okay, I need to actually develop those communication skills, develop those confidence skills. Because if anything is going to hold me back in life, it would be me not actually wanting to face that. Mm. So yeah, those are sort of my three whys, my three pillars for what I always lean back on.
I love that. And obviously, like, work, going through all these experiences and, you know, reflecting and, you know, parking something and then coming back to it as well. I love that because, you know, it is an entrepreneurial spirit. Because for somebody that's, you know, launched a business, done stuff that's worked, done stuff that's failed, like, it never gets me down because ultimately I'm working towards a why of, I just want to enjoy what the hell I'm doing, right? I don't have this aspiration of being the best at it. I just wanted to make sure that I was happy with whatever I was doing. So if it was, you know, spitting bars to a track, I didn't care. Well, there were parts of me originally that used to care what people said about it and I was seeking validation, but I've gotten older a bit now and I don't give a damn what people think. If they like it, they like it. If they don't, tough, I don't care. But similarly, when I'm launching my business and I'm doing those sort of things, I've learned, I've been burnt on contracts, I've had great collaborations, and I've learned what to look out for when at the beginning of a contract or something. But also, you know, when it comes to prospecting or creating videos or content creation, it's just stuff I love freaking doing and just having fun with it, you know? So like having your why for me is just, I just want to keep going and I want to enjoy what I'm doing. But in terms of like, you know, kind of wrapping up today and like next chapters and whatnot, we have some good news from yourself because a couple of days ago there was a little announcement on LinkedIn to share something new from yourself. And where is it? We believe there has been a change in career as well and you're moving into a new direction. So again, for everybody that's listening to this on the podcast, Charlotte has been promoted to a CSM at ScreenLoop. So congratulations first and foremost, Charlotte.
Thanks, Jill.
Could you walk us through kind of like what did, how did this transition come about? What were the thoughts on it? And what does it mean to kind of be this CSM role within ScreenLoop?
Yeah. So first of all, thanks for the congratulations. I guess the CSM role is, you know, SDRs do go into it, but it's not the one that most people want to go into. Usually it's AE that people want to go into straight away.
Yeah.
There was an opportunity at ScreenLoop to either go into BDR team lead role or a CSM role. To be honest, both of them, I was like, oh, I'd love both of them. But when I looked back on my three pillars or three whys that I mentioned before, when it comes to actually communication, confidence, business acumen, I feel like the CSM role was more aligned with that. And in terms of ScreenLoop, we are a very lean business. We're quite small. We're pre-series A. We're a seed business, they call it. Gosh, my business acumen, clearly. But it's quite a versatile role. I'll be doing some AE stuff, some discos. It involves a lot of working closely with product and engineering teams. Again, linking back to, okay, how the hell does a business actually work? How do I communicate not only with prospects and clients, but also internal teams and manage those conversations as well? So I'm really excited to be in a new function, learning new things. And I think there are a lot of skills that I built and mindset and even those kinds of things that I've developed as an SDR that I can take into this role. So yeah, I'm excited.
Absolutely love it. And you know, you alluded to this sometimes is not a common route that some SDRs take, you know, as you alluded to, some people mainly want to go into the AE role, and I was no different. But I am seeing more and more of this trend, and it's making me very happy that SDRs are exploring things beyond AE. Well, not so much beyond, but in parallel with the AE, right? And something I've always chimed for years is, you know, being an SDR isn't just an entry to sales, it's an entry to a whole company. And, you know, I've met many people that I've either worked with that have, you know, stopped the SDR gig and gone into marketing, or perhaps they've gone into the actual product because they really geek out on the solution that their company's built, or, you know, customer success. That was a route that I took into, so I freaking loved it. You know, I loved it more than I did being an account executive. But ultimately, I think doing all these roles, Charlotte, this is what makes you an all-rounder as well, because you've built your own business. You've gone into a business to learn how to prospect, how to sell, how to have commercial discussions and bring people into something they may have not known about before. And now you're going into, in essence, a hybrid role where you're doing CSMing, but you're doing a little bit of an AEing. This is freaking awesome. And I think, to your point, being in a lean company in an intimate group, you know, which might be smaller than some, that's a really cool place to be in. Because the learning, like your learning is exponentially just like gone up through the roof because you're doing multiple hats. And similar to like being an SDR, you are wearing multiple hats. You're being an SDR, but you're also being a marketer evangelizing your business. You're being a salesperson trying to convince people to come in to chat to you guys and have a meeting with you and watch a demo. And then you're becoming a product expert and answering product questions where people say, well, how does this integrate with our ATS? Or, you know, how does this work, etc. And then you're nurturing leads for people that aren't ready to like buy from you now. So I think this is freaking amazing. And I'm excited to watch you on this journey. And I think what would be really cool is in the future for you to come back onto the show and tell us what has life been like in that role to then inspire other people to potentially maybe follow that path. What do you think?
For sure. Sounds good. Nice note there on integrating with the ATS. That's something that we often come across. It sounds great. I think it is a slightly different path, but it'll be a really interesting one. And be cool to reflect in the future on what it's taught me, for sure.
I love that. Thank you. Well, Charlotte, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on the show, and I've learned a hell of a lot more about you. And I can definitely feel that our listeners have got some value from this show today. So again, as a general reminder, Charlotte's LinkedIn profile will be in the show notes. If you want to connect with her, ask her any further questions, or pick her brain on anything we've discussed today, feel free to do so. But kind of bringing in that ultimate question that I love asking at the end of the show. So let's just imagine a couple of years back, you've got this Charlotte Higgins. She's, you know, building Beats. She's on an Instagram page and she's thinking, ooh, I'm on Otter and I'm thinking about going into tech sales. What three bits of advice would you give to that young Charlotte who's just about to embark on her career?
I think the main one that jumps out is just back yourself, believe in yourself, go for it. Another one I think that helped me, not only in actually finding an SDR job, but as an SDR, is that action first. Always take action. Action beats deliberation. There'll be many times where you're kind of sitting on a decision, sitting on making any changes, but actually just making the change, going in any direction, is better than staying in the same where you are, basically.
Yeah.
I think that's really relevant to SDRing. And the third bit of advice, something that we have touched on, but just mindset. Work on your mindset. Try and brush off the rejection, brush off, just be resilient, be as positive as you can, brush it off, there you go. that has a massive impact on not only success SDRing, but also your happiness SDRing.
Could have said it better myself. Those are some bars, my bro. So thank you so much for that, Charlotte. So a big thank you to all of our listeners and watchers joining us on Charlotte's Journey. So as if you're listening to this in your local podcast platform, please make sure that you give us a rating and share. It really helps us out. And equally, if you're watching this on our YouTube channel, make sure that you like, comment, and share down below. Well, Charlotte Higgins, pleasure having you on board. I look forward to seeing you in your future journey. And most importantly, happy selling.
Thank you, Neil.
Thank you for listening to the SDR Disco Call podcast today. We would like to get this message out to more and more sales development reps, so please like, comment, and share in your local podcast provider. If you don't want to miss a show, you can always send a blank email to SDRDiscoCall@bcast, which is bcast.email, and you'll be added to our mailing list. We're also on the lookout for new guests, so if you work in the world of sales development as an SDR, BDR, MDR, or ADR, and feel that you have an important message or story to share, feel free to email us at podcast@happyselling.io, and we'd love to have you on board.